Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, Mary Jordan is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the Washington Post and a best-selling author, and she's got a new book out. It's an unauthorised biography about Melania Trump, the current wife of Donald Trump. He had a book published called The Art of the Deal. This one's called The Art of Her Deal, The Untold Story of Melania Trump. Based on interviews of more than 100 people in five countries, the book draws an unprecedented portrait of the First Lady. Her public image, of course, is one of an aloof woman floating above the gamesmanship of Washington, and throughout her public life, Melania Trump has basically worked very hard to remain mysterious. But let's find out what she's really like and ask the author, Mary Jordan, who's with us now. And thanks for being with us on the programme on this 4th of July, American Independence Day. Mary, is it fair to say that if you look at one way, you know, that she got to where she got to, that she had a childhood dream of being a supermodel, but she didn't have what it takes to go beyond a catalogue model, but Donald Trump gave her the opportunity to become a professional model and she repays him with her loyalty? Is that a bit unfair?
I think that's unfair. I think that when she was a young girl growing up in the former Yugoslavia, socialist times, Tito was running the place, she had enormous ambition and discipline. And she actually wanted to be an actress first. And she won a contest, went to Italy, thought she'd be the new Sophia Loren. But I think she turned out that she was, people kept saying, you're beautiful, but she didn't make it through auditions. She had trouble public speaking. Then she did modeling. You didn't have to speak on the catwalk. She was constantly reinventing herself with the aim. And this is why what I think is interesting. It wasn't just to be rich. She also wanted to be famous.
She also wanted to be famous. She's got an official biography which will tell us that, she graduated from college. No, I don't think she did. She speaks five languages. We only know of two. Did you find other anomalies like that saying, wait a minute now, like the CV is not the truth?
Well, I found tapes of her. She had this press conference when she was 28 in Paris, and she spoke for hours to journalists. So I tracked down almost all of them, and translated from Slovenian. Many of them were Slovenian articles. And I got the tape. And in there, she says she's one of the highest paid models in the world. Yeah. And there's a back and forth, okay, well, really? Are you one of the top models in the world? And she very clearly says yes. And it was, written up at the time in many places. Well, even her own agent at the time said that's not true. I mean, it was just not true. So what's interesting to me is that Trump, is famous. Her husband is famous for exaggerating. He says things like he's taller than he is, that his buildings have more floors than they do. They are in many ways more ways than we think alike.
Okay, they are. See, the funny thing is, when I finished this book, I said, wow, that was really interesting. I really enjoyed this book because, you allowed the facts to speak for themselves. You did 120 interviews in five countries. It's exhaustive. It's crisp. It's concise. It's well researched. It's well put together. But the really weird thing is, I'm saying all that saying, she's boring.
When you look at her story, this woman arrives at the age of 26 to New York, hits America for the first time at the age of 26. 20 years later, just 20 years later,
yeah,
when she's 46,
she's
going to the White House. It is an amazing story. But you have a point, because when you talk to people, I have talked to people, including people that have been at fancy dinners, since she's been first ladies, like at Buckingham Palace and in different places in Europe. And they said that she never said a word, and they were never more bored out. She is so paralyzed at times to say the wrong thing that, people, there's many, many stories about how little she says and how boring it is to be seated next to her.
So in other words, even if she is all the things or claimed she was all those things before she ever met even Donald Trump, she does now have a steely determination to reveal nothing of herself. Isn't that really it? It's quite damning of her, really. It does make her vacuous. It does seem to make her boring. And, she's a bit of an empty shell.
Well, I disagree about the empty shell. And I think the reason we should care about her and figure out who she is she has the ear of the president.
Yeah.
She is absolutely key in hiring and firing top people in the White House. So she was critical in the selection of Mike Pence. And I think it says a lot about how savvy she is about why she told him to pick Pence. And it says a lot about Trump that Trump said, asked Melania to spend 2 days with the Pences while he was trying to figure out who his vice president should be. At the end of all this, she basically said the other contenders, Chris Christie, hard-charging former governor in New Jersey, and Newt Gingrich, who was the Speaker of the House, she said to him, pick Pence because he has less ambition and he won't be gunning for your job. He'll be content to be number two. It's quite good advice because Donald Trump does not do co-stars.
No, indeed. And Pence is not the kind of guy who would ever even want to be president in some way. So it would seem, although I don't know, you'd be surprised. And I think he would turn out to be a worse president than President Trump, if that's possible. Melania is not a person to be pitied. She doesn't deserve it. She doesn't want it. But she's not a sideshow in any way at all, even though I think looking at it, she kind of might be. Is she a shameless gold digger or a hapless buffoon or any one of those things?
You know, there was a great moment when she was dating Trump, and she's 24 years younger. You know, he had been married two times before, and somebody came up to her and said, would you be dating him if he was a car mechanic? I mean, would you be dating him if he wasn't rich? Immediately, she shot back, would he be dating me if I weren't beautiful?
So, wait a minute, Mary, is that the art of her deal?
That is the art of her deal. I think she's quite confident. But the big art of her deal is that Donald Trump says only rich men who do not have a prenuptial agreement, some kind of a written contract before they get married. Anyone who doesn't have that, he says, is a loser. And I'm the best negotiator in the world. I mean, he's boasted a million times.
Yeah.
Well, Melania showed that she's no dummy because she waited until she had the most leverage over him. You know, it was only when he went into politics that he cared about his public appearance, that he needed her smiling, not swatting away his hand, you know, not looking yeah. uncomfortable. And that's when she went in for the kill to renegotiate the prenup. And I'm told absolutely that she got a great deal.
Okay, so she's set up for life. She did a great deal with the prenup, and Hollywood access and all those kind of things really helped there, because if she had said, right, I'm leaving him if he's going to go on like that, I'm leaving him because of Stormy Daniels, that would be the end of Trump, wouldn't it? Or might it be?
Well, I think his team would definitely say so, because it was 1 month before the November election in 2016. We have a woman, Hillary Clinton, was trying to make history as the first woman, and that incredible tape came out that the world heard, where he was saying things about grabbing women. It was very crude. Mm. And the campaign thought, oh, my God, you know, it was already a tight campaign with Hillary. And what are female voters going to say about this? Absolutely critical that Melania come out and defuse it. And she did. She said, it's boys talk. You know, I trust him. He respects women. She really held all the cards right then.
Yeah, exactly. And a good prenup resulted. Okay. And you say she is more like her husband than we might have thought. And certainly you do get that opinion from the book, all right. But what about the ambitious stepdaughter situation? I mean, does she fight for Donald's approval? Is Ivanka her only real nemesis?
Well, you know, it's a stepdaughter, stepmother. They're not too, you know, they're only 11 years apart in age. They're both former models. Ivanka is very close to her mother, Ivana, the famous Ivana, who was Donald's first wife. And inside the White House, there's kind of Team Ivanka and Team Melania. And, you know, you can only be on one side. And there is often tension. And I think one little story kind of explains it is Melania was staying up with Barron in New York for the first months of the administration. Ivanka came charging in, got her, you know, she became an advisor to the president, and she said, you know, I think we should rename the first lady's office the first family's office. Well, when Melania heard about it, she said, absolutely no way. But that's the kind of thing where, you know, it's hard to coexist at times. I mean, they've done a fine job, but there is definitely tension there. And they even have nicknames for each other. Melania calls Ivanka the princess because she's so spoiled that she thinks she's royalty. And Ivanka calls Melania the portrait because she talks about as much as a painting on the wall.
Yeah, that made me chuckle, all right. Okay, well, then let's take a look at this, because, I mean, we know that Trump's oath of office is supposed to be acting in the interest of the country first. And we've kind of seen, particularly in the last few weeks, that he's actually even thrown that to the wind and doesn't care anymore, because all that matters to Trump is that Trump's personal interest must be served. What about hers? I mean, does she care more about her family than the country? Like, in the exact same time as he was saying absolutely no and everything else to do with chain migration and all the rest, days later, she was allowed to bring her family to live in the White House, in a different part of the White House.
I think this is the thing that interests me the most. You know, my parents are immigrants. They're from County Mayo.
Right.
They only came, you know, America is a country of immigrants,
yeah.
And we're all very proud of it. And the idea that Donald Trump was condemning the part of American policy that allows new immigrants to bring close family members over, he called it, you know, the ugly way is to say chain migration.
Yeah.
You know, we call it family unification.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So she was doing this, and you know, many people said it's just hypocritical.
Okay, so like, I mean, which it obviously is, but like, does she get on? Like, there's a story of Melania's father and a red hat and playing golf and all this kind of thing. I mean, the idea that he should, like, that Donald Trump leaves stuff over on the side and not to be used. And he went mad when he saw the father wearing the red hat. Is that true?
Well, this is a great, great story, actually, because so they, right outside New York City, they have 500 acres, this place, Bedminster, and he goes golfing there. And I spent a lot of time talking to the housekeepers and people that worked there. And they said that Donald is very particular. You know, he uses Irish Spring soap and
yeah.
can't throw it out. Even if there's a little sliver, you know, he's very particular, and only you can throw out things that are in this pile right here. And one day he put a red cap there. So Melania's mother, who everybody actually loves, she's a former factory worker from Yugoslavia who's with Melania all the time, she knew it was in the discard pile. So she said, this is good enough for my husband, you know, Melania's dad. Well, Melania's dad, Victor, went out to the golf course wearing the red hat, and Trump saw him and went crazy and in front of other people started yelling and told him that everyone knows that that's my hat and take it off. You know, horribly embarrassing for Victor, you know, who does not speak that great of English, and kind of he took the hat off and went back home. But, you know, Trump always wears these red hats because he wants to be noticed, and he doesn't want anyone else on his property to wear a red hat because he wants to be the guy, you know, you can notice him no matter what fairway he's on or where he is in the golf.
I see.
In the clubhouse.
All right. By the way, we're talking to Mary Jordan, and The Art of Her Deal is the name of the book. And it's fascinating insight into Melania Trump, the first we've really seen. And can I ask then, you know, is it a loving marriage or is it a business deal, Mary?
You know, that's the hardest question because, you know, for just about everybody, love is complicated. But I spent a lot of time talking to people who, over the years, the Trumps have been together 22 years. Melania's been with him longer than any woman.
Yeah.
And they say that there was absolutely something real, especially at the beginning. They've had their ups and downs. It was pretty icy when the Stormy McDaniels and Karen McDougal affairs came out, but that they still have some kind of a relationship. And it is not a fake thing, that he admires her, she admires him, and they trust each other. And neither of them trust they trust very few people. And there is a bond there. But at the same time, they spend a shockingly little amount of time together.
Yeah.
They have separate bedrooms. They have separate routines. He golfs when he has a minute off. She's never with him. You know, they talk on the phone even when they're in the same house. I think that's funny. You know, it's not like, you know, his lawyer said to me, you know, Mary, I only heard him speak romantically about himself and his business and his properties. And so, you know, it's funny because Trump is always working and always talking about his properties. And Melania, her deal is she's fine with that. She likes spending time with her mom, dad, and son. And they have a deal and it works.
Yeah. Is it unusual for members of the first family to be citizens of another country?
No. We have never had the son of a U.S. president hold a passport from another country. And I found out that Melania made sure, while in the White House, that Barron got his Slovenian citizenship and passport, which makes him, you know, he can travel freely in the EU. And that's something we've never seen before. You know, normally it might not be a big a deal, but when you have such a president who has been, you know, build the wall, lower even legal immigration to the States, it does kind of raise eyebrows.
Yeah, I mean, like, she has really self-exiled, hasn't she, with her family and her son within the grounds of the White House.
Well, there's this great image, you know, she does not have a lot of friends. She does not trust people very much. And it's her mother, her father, Barron, and Melania, the four of them have dinner, many meals together. They're in the private residence inside the White House many, many days. And they speak Slovenian because the parents don't speak very much English, and Barron has learned Slovenian. And so, you know, the Secret Service outside the door have no idea what they're saying. But the funny thing is Trump comes in and, yeah, you know, he's heard muttering, I've been told, like, drives him crazy. He has no idea what they're saying either.
And, like, what about when you were doing your research and you look up old photos on Google, etc.? Have they been wiped away, or were they never there in the first place?
Oh, no. For instance, she did, as a model, you know, there's a lot of models who don't wear a lot of clothes during these commercials. And she certainly was one of them. She was a lingerie model. And she was in a commercial for a watch where she was naked in a shower. It was a steamed up shower, but she was clearly naked with a male actor, you know, and it was a clever thing. It was, you know, about, there's some things, it was about time. Some things are worth being late for, you know, is this commercial for a watch. Well, everybody who worked on that shoot said, you just want a stroke of the keyboard, you could find that ad and see Melania naked with a guy in a steamed up shower. And they said, you know, around the campaign, you couldn't find it anymore. And I've talked to other photographers who said that there was an effort to make sure that older photos that Melania had not approved wouldn't see the light of day. So it just became a lot harder. And I had to go into archives. I had to, actually, some of the things I found in garages and attics that people had. Mm. So it was, I did find quite a lot of photos in men's magazines in Europe and things where she was model, and models, you know, strike interesting poses sometimes.
Indeed they do. And also, but like, people have said, you know, she married a wealthy man, which is what she wanted, but she's horrified at his White House run. That's not true, is it? I mean, like people say, she doesn't want to do that. She doesn't want to be the White House. She doesn't want to be the wife of the president. But actually, she does. In fact, did she even encourage him to go for it?
Yes, and I think that's one of the big headlines out of this. She's not trapped. Mm. She has never had more power than when he went into politics. And she's been talking about it for 16 years before the 2016 campaign. She encouraged him to run. She told him he had a special connection with people. And she actually likes to be first lady. And she, you know, I just hope that the book will dispel some of these myths, you know, the myths about her. She's vastly underestimated.
And she's obviously a very strong woman, because the stresses and the constant public ridicule, you need to have something of steel, don't you?
Yeah, and she doesn't like all of it, that's for sure. But she does love meeting all the world leaders. It's very interesting, the last few weeks, she's really stepped up her calling of people around the world and talking to them about COVID and, you know, tweeting. She seems to be getting her footing now. You know, it's been several years. She does that, her method of operation, really. She's slow, planned. Then when she feels more comfortable, she starts going for it. And she had planned to do a lot more fundraising and to be a lot more visible in the 2020 campaign. But of course, now with COVID, and, you know, we don't see her out there. But she is on the phone, and she is doing more than she did the last time around.
But has she left it a bit late? Because she's one of the least visible first ladies ever. I mean, like, Michelle Obama made 84 speeches in her first year. Melania has made 8.
Exactly. No, she is. She went missing for 24 days. Missing meaning, like, nobody saw her in public. And she's broken the mold, because before Melania, you know, we were used to Michelle Obama and Laura Bush and even Rosalind Carter, who would show up at cabinet meetings. We knew where they were. There was, and the First Lady's office would put out a public agenda. Well, Melania says, I don't have to do that. I can disappear. They won't answer questions, even what city she's in.
But I mean, like, you know, you did interview her and, you know, you had access, etc. And like, she does support an administration that has broken all democratic rules and endangered lives and ruined U.S. standing in the world. Is she complicit?
Well, this is a great question. You know, are wives or partners, spouses complicit in what their husbands do? There's a lot of debate about that. You know, even with Hillary Clinton, like, Hillary Clinton got splashed because of the affairs of her husband. And I think that as people talk about that, I think the way you view Melania for millions of Americans and voters here is how you view her husband, right? You know, and that's either you love him or loathe him. There's very little middle ground. And I think that many people say, you know, I don't blame her for everything he does and everything he tweets. And we know that she's trying to pull him back in many ways. She said that, and I've heard that in the White House, she's trying to moderate. Can you imagine without her that this is moderation?
Yeah, right.
But I think where she, you know, a lot of people like her. She's more popular than Trump himself. But people are disappointed, especially on immigration, that she doesn't use the microphone and the platform she has to speak out more about it. I think that's, for those who are disappointed, that's where it is, that she has the opportunity and she's not seizing it.
But surely one of the black marks on Melania's soul is the birther attacks on Obama from Donald Trump. And she was, can I say, up for it?
Well, I think that's where both Michelle Obama, in her book, actually, and she said this before, that that's the one thing she can't forgive Trump for, because it put her family in danger. By this birther thing, was basically saying that the first black president of the United States, Barack Obama, was not legitimate because this theory, this false theory goes, he was never born in America. In fact, we know he was born in Hawaii. Hawaii is part of the United States. But Trump was fueling in a big way that maybe he was really from Africa and he was illegitimate. And, you know, that was a dangerous thing. And when this came up in an interview well before the campaign in 2016, it was she was asked about it and she backed her husband up. And I think absolutely right that people can't forget that.
No, indeed. Well, listen, finally, Marianne, thank you so much for being with us. You know, Melania would seem has built a wall around herself to keep people at a distance. And that's the best way for her to get through day to day, etc. And she does have her family there with her in the White House, which is very important. But do you think in some ways that, you know, if she gets into certain policy decisions, and it's mostly to do with kids, everything from child separation, as you mentioned, to e-cigarettes being bad and all the rest of it and that. Do you think that, you know, she has more to gain by standing by her husband than by walking away and just, you know, an infidelity or assault? Great, that just means a better prenup.
That's exactly how Melania thinks. She's always calculating what's the best thing for her and Barron. She is the most protective mother. And she calculated, according to everyone I talked to, much more gain by staying.
Right, and indeed. Yeah. And Mary, just you, by the way, you mentioned it, so I'll have to ask. You're from America, but your parents are from, do you know where in County Mayo?
Of course I know where. But I spent a year studying at Trinity College in Dublin. I've been to Ireland about 20 times.
Oh, okay, I'll rephrase that. Where are they from in Mayo?
My mom is from Ballycroy near Achill.
Okay.
And my dad is from the foot of Kirkpatrick near Newport.
I see. Very good. Okay. Well, listen, look, The Art of Her Deal is the fascinating account of a very strange woman who, as you say, we'll be hearing a lot more of over the next 30 or 40 years. Thanks so much, Mary.
All the best. Thank
bye.
You.
Bye. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.